Good morning. First off, I'd like to thank Pastor Jeff for allowing me to speak this morning. It really is a privilege for me to serve the Lord. Before we get rolling, Veterans Day was Monday. I'm a former vet of the Navy. I see George back there. Semper Fi, brother. I serve with the Marine Corps right beside him. So anyone else in the audience who's a vet, thank you. Thank you very much. I was kidding George. He was saying about the Marine Corps birthday. And I was stationed on Okinawa and was privileged to become an escort for a young lady, a Navy chief's daughter. And I went to the Marine Corps ball, and we had our Cracker Jacks on with the little white hats, and the Marines were in their blues and all the finery, you know. And actually, George, I think they do it once a year, so the Marines will remember what a fork looks like. Because there had to be four or five forks there, and I was looking at them kind of sideways, and I know the Marines were looking at them like, what do you do with this thing? But the GIs, you know, we talk a lot of stuff on each other, you know, but when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter. We all bleed red. And when it comes down to it, the grunt saved us, we saved them. And we do the same thing for any U.S. force. So you're all brothers over there. Believe me, when you cross that water, the world changes. You're all one. But anyway, this morning's message comes from the Old Testament. And I'd like to talk about choices. The choices we make affect the choices God makes. Because he's going to deal with us in a certain way. And he didn't inspire the Bible, so that we would know Jewish history, or we would learn about Elijah, or Jeremiah, or Isaiah. What he's trying to teach us here is how he will deal with us. He'll deal with us the same way he dealt with the nation Israel. They say God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Well, however he treated the nation Israel, he's going to treat us. If we think to ourselves, well, if I do this, how will God treat me? Read the book. How did he treat the nation Israel? If we decide to sin, we decide to steal, murder, whatever, he's going to treat us a certain way. He hasn't changed any of his commandments yet. We decided that, well, they can be a little gray. There's no gray with God. God's black and white, right or wrong, done. In the book of Leviticus, God introduces the law. Punishment on one side, which involves sacrifice. The other side of the coin, atonement, forgiveness. That's what separates us, the church. We have asked for forgiveness. We have accepted that forgiveness. The devil loves to beat you up. Oh, he just loves it. Because as soon as he sees you doing something wrong, you start to think, well, it really wasn't that bad. And then he gets on his shoulder. The angel gets over here and says it wasn't that bad. The devil gets on his shoulder and says, but look what you did. Was it really that bad? Well, yeah, it must be. It's against one of the commandments. And the devil just keeps replaying this in our head. God forgives us once and we're done. We don't forgive ourselves. And the devil always reminds us. 20 years ago, something happened. Well, you know, it was a sin back then. It's a sin now, but Christians are forgiven. Accept the forgiveness. choose to accept the forgiveness. One thing I was telling Elaine in Sunday school last week, and the devil always speaks first. Anytime you do something wrong, he's right there to point the finger, and he's going to let you know that you did something wrong. And I was saying, a good example of the devil speaking first. We all seem like we're brothers and sisters here. Well, how about if we all get in a vehicle and start on the hill here, past the bridge, towards the bridge. And let's say I'm in one vehicle, you're in the other vehicle, and hey, you just seen me preach. So I seem like a pretty nice guy. But let's say I decide that I need to get home now and cut in front of you real quick with my vehicle, almost hitting your vehicle. Am I such a nice guy? Are you going to say, Lord, teach my brother to drive? No, you're not. You're going to call me something. And chances are, give me one of those nice little hand gestures. Yeah, you will. Or at least you're going to lay on that horn. This is what I'm saying. That's why they say count to ten. The old saying, count to ten. Because believe me, the devil's coming in first. You know, if there's ever a way to sin, the devil is going to be the first one to show it to you. And he's going to say, it's really not that bad. But then when you start to think about it, maybe it was pretty bad. I was at a church one time in Washington, Pennsylvania, and a gentleman saw W. Booth on a pew pad there. And he says, there's William Booth in the audience. Well, William Booth started the Salvation Army. And I was sitting back there. I says, would you preach any different if he was? And it kind of stopped him, you know. And it's like us. If you knew God was watching every choice right beside you, would that affect your choices? Would that affect the way you deal with people? Tell you a little secret. In the upper room, Jesus told the disciples, I'm leaving the church to you. We got the store. We're the only way out. We are the world's way out. God's not going to stop the world to give us advice. That's what we're here for, to give the world advice. The God of the Bible, the Old Testament especially, wasn't that teddy bear God that we see, the giant guy in the tie-dyed t-shirt who sits up in heaven saying, well, you know, it's really not that bad. He was a little more judgmental. He gave everyone there a choice. I'd like to start off with one of the scriptures this morning that tells us of the choice he gave Noah. It said, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Well, all Noah's friends were outside the ark. Chances are, all Noah's relations and relatives were outside the ark. It had to be a little tough to close that door. Stop and think about this. Noah made a choice. Are you getting in the ark, or are you staying outside the ark? The same thing with Lot in the Old Testament. 1916. And while he lingered, the men took his hand, his wife's hands, and the hands of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when he had brought them outside, then he said, Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. There's Lot's choice right there. Leave everything you have behind you, or perish. The old, in the Bible, it says, those who put their hand to the plow and look back are not worthy of me. That was always a hard verse for me to understand. But you know what? The truth of it is, if the rapture comes, we're going to leave a lot of relatives. Those who we didn't tell about Jesus, or those who made the choice not to believe. We were leaving Rota, Spain, coming back to the States. And a friend of mine came to me. He was a Norwegian citizen by birth. Had joined the American Army. The American Navy. And he came to me and he said, we're going back tomorrow. And I was in charge of this gentleman. And he says, but I'm not going. What do you mean you're not going? Everybody goes. He says, no. He says, I met a Spanish girl over here. He says, I live out in town. He says, and I'm happy here. He says, I'm just letting you know I'm not going back to the States. And I was waiting on the punchline. But there was none. This guy was serious. He was just going to stay in Spain. And he made a decision right there. That's a decision affected him the rest of his life. Because as soon as he applies for a U.S. passport, he'll be declared a deserter. And he'll be thrown out of the country, probably. I don't know how they handle that. But the bottom line is, this choice he made affected the rest of his life. He didn't have a choice. God says the same thing to us. I don't know how many chances we get. I really don't. I know one thing. The Lord spoke to me and I grabbed hold of the train and I've been riding ever since. The Lord stopped the world one night and told me, hey kid, you either straighten up or you're going to hell. It was enough for me. I was scared. I've been proclaiming the Lord ever since. But these are decisions that you have to make now. Right now. And you think, well, sometimes we have a little more time to make decisions. But the person you see tomorrow morning at the coffee shop, or the person you see in the grocery line, or the person you see coming up the road. You only see him for a split second. You have a choice. Are you going to encourage that person? Are you going to give that person grace? The same grace you would expect them to give you. We, through our actions, through the way we interact with people, we are the church. We're the example here on earth. God is not going to stop the world every 10 seconds to tell someone you're doing something wrong. That's what we're here for. That Christian song, if not us, who? There's no one else. We're holding the bag. The store has been left to us. When Jesus left this world, he told his disciples, I'm leaving the church to you. Well, we as followers of the Lord, he has left the church to us. And I'm a very firm believer, as it spoke, as Lot discussed with the Lord, if I can find 10% of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah who are righteous, Will you destroy it? He said, no. But he couldn't find them. I'm a firm believer. If the church left the United States today, God would wipe it out. That's my own personal opinion. But biblically, he's done it. When Moses came down off of the mountain at Sinai, let me go to that part. It's in the book of Exodus. Exodus 32:25. In this part of Exodus, I can't find the exact verse right now, but in this part, as Moses comes down off the mountain, he holds the tablets, and God says, these people have sinned. I'm going to destroy them all. And Moses pleads with the Lord. He says, no, don't destroy them all. There are righteous people here. And Moses says, if you are righteous, come here with me. And those of us, those of you who decide to go your own way and keep partying and keep doing what you want to do, then you go on the other side. And that's what happened. And then Moses told the Levites to slay those people over there because God said, told him to do it. There's a choice right there. They had a choice. You take your choice right there. You go with Moses or you go over there. But the consequence of being over there was the fact that the Lord is going to slay you. The Lord could have easily brought any kind of disaster upon those people. But he told the Levites to do it. You are my servant. Stop and think about this. There's a choice right there. That could be their brother over there or some relation. It could. And God told him not to marry the Amorite women. This could be your wife on the other side. If you are a Levite, God drew the line right there. This is a little tough to take. This ain't this teddy bear who says, okay, it really wasn't that bad of a sin. No, this is the Old Testament God. This is why the Jewish people, when Jesus came and brought forgiveness, that's why the people were jumping up and down. Because believe me, it was a whole lot better than the other system. God's system of sacrifice and atonement. The way we make our choices affects the world. Every choice we make, how we live our lives. We don't make sense as Christians. To the world, we don't make sense. In the book of Kings, Elijah goes to Mount Carmel. So Ahab set for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I am alone left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And we all know what happens. God brings fire down from heaven. But the point I'm trying to make here is Elijah came to the people, said, make up your mind. Choose who you will serve. We make that decision every day. You just don't realize it. Some people would say, well, why should we listen to this guy? He's not an ordained preacher. That's a choice you're making. Like I said, if you decide to walk out of your place of employment and take something that doesn't belong to you, somebody's watching you. You're supposed to be a Christian. And they're thinking to themselves, well, if he does it, it must be okay. Wait a minute. We're the example. Let me back up in the book of Kings here. The 16th verse of the Kings 18, it says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and Ahab told him that Ahab went to meet with Elijah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Elijah was not a popular man. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. When you start telling people what they're doing is wrong, you won't be popular either. Nobody likes to hear what they're doing is wrong. Believe me. There's no faster way to kill a wedding reception than a preacher walk in. Am I right, Jeff? There, as soon as you walk in, everybody puts it. They're trying to slide them drinks underneath the table. Really, they are. The preacher's here. Well, the preacher was, and you know what? God sees you. You made a choice. I heard of a friend of mine who was at a wedding reception, got a little tipsy, this and that. He made a choice. And then I heard some other people saying, well, he shouldn't do that. And actually, he shouldn't have. He should be the example. We should be the example. But like I said, when we tell someone they're wrong, they're not going to like it. This world does not like criticism. It doesn't at all, especially from us, from the church. But you know what? God's not going to ask, did you change that person? God's not going to ask, why did you tell them they were wrong? All God's going to say is, you did what you were supposed to do. I can tell you you're wrong in sin all day. I can't change you. I can't force you to change. I've done my part if I told you you're wrong. That's why Ahab is telling Elijah, you're the troubler of Israel. Israel was having a great time until Elijah came along and said, whoa, you can't do this. It's the same thing when Moses come down off the mountain. Everybody's having a great time until Moses said, whoa, you can't do this. They became very unpopular very quickly because their choices weren't the same as the nation. It's the same with us. Our choices are not the same as this nation. The message God put on my heart today was, hey, tell them they're wrong. You're not going to be popular about it because of it. You just really ain't. In this circle, you are. In that circle out there, you're not. But we are the world's way out. We're it. Nobody else is coming to do our job. God left us the store. What do? Like Jeff said, go to a world that's in pieces and give it some peace. We're the only peace they have. We do not have the option to quit. Failure is not an option to us. As long as we do what God told us to do, we're doing what's right. Because no matter what you think, I don't care who thinks what. I don't have to satisfy anyone on this earth. The person I have to satisfy is up there in heaven. Did I do what he told me to do? Did I make choices that glorify him? So this week, what I want you to do is when you meet someone new, when you meet a grocery clerk, when you meet a donut clerk, when you meet somebody, say something encouraging to that person. Make that choice. No matter if they got 14 things pierced and earrings everywhere, and 6 tattoos. You know what? That person's just trying to express herself. And if we all think back when we were in our teens, we were trying to express ourselves too. And encourage each other. That's what we're here for. Wouldn't this world be a great place? Stop and think about it. Wouldn't it be a great place if we would quit beating each other down and start lifting each other up? And that's our job. They think we're nuts. But you know what? We win in the end. I read the book. The choices we make not only affect us, they affect the world. They really do. And our choices should glorify the Lord. Jeff's going to come up and do the benediction, but I would like to leave you with this blessing from Roma Dani. May the blessing of light be upon you. Light on the outside and light on the inside. With God's holy light shining on you, may your heart glow with the warmth like a peat fire that welcomes friends and strangers alike. May the light of the Lord glow in your eyes as a candle in the window, welcoming the weary stranger. May the blessing of God's rain falling softly upon you, refreshing your soul with the sweetness of little flowers blooming in the spring. May the strength of the winds of heaven bless you, carrying the rain to wash your spirit sparkling clean in the sunlight. May the blessing of the earth be upon you as you walk its roads. May you always have a kind word for those you meet. May you understand the strength and power of God in a thunderstorm in winter. May you see the quiet beauty of creation in the sunset. And may you come to realize, as small as you may seem in this great universe, you are a very important part of God's plan. Amen.